Special welcome to our friends Ricardo and Miriam, Abby and Christy, in that order. Thank you for being with us for the last couple days with the College of Prayer module we had, and now with us this Sunday morning. We're so glad for your gift of bringing worship, and then Ricardo will be also bringing the word.
Well, it's a joy to be able to worship with you and to bring God's word today. And today we're gonna talk a little bit about the past, and I'm gonna have some dates there. Well, the first one is already there. So now some of you may not be or maybe weren't alive. Although if you were alive in 1776 and you're still here, I mean, praise the Lord. That's a miracle right there. But you know, some of us won't you know, we weren't alive in these dates, but we all have some sense of what took place, right? And so you all know July 4th, 1776. Well, what happened then? You can speak. Yeah, the Declaration of Independence, right? It was signed. It was adopted on July 4th, 1776. Okay. All right. The next date that I have is December 7, 1941. Okay. Yeah. Some of you know that. Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese, right? Not a very good day. The next one is May 8, 1945. Yeah, someone said it. What was it? It was V-Day, when finally World War II ended, right? That was a good day, okay? A very, very good day. The next one is November 22, 1963. Yes, President John F. Kennedy was shot in Dallas, Texas. Again, not a very good day. This one is July 20th, 1969. Yeah, well, we have some really good historians here. That's good. Again, I wasn't born in any of these that we've mentioned. But yeah, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed on the moon, right? One small step for a man, but a giant leap for mankind. So that was a good day. This one, I think we all remember very well. September 11, 2001, terrorist attack, New York City. Again, that was a very bad, not a very good day, okay? And the last one that I have, a little bit more recent. And I don't know how many football fans we have here, but this was a very good one for football, specifically Minnesota Vikings. Okay, who remembers that day? Yeah, okay, there's a lot of you that remember that day. I think we're done with the slides. Okay, so that was obviously a very good day. I'm not a Vikings fan. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, but that's not important right now. But anyway, as we went through these dates, you know, obviously they're all in the past. I think we all had different reactions, right, to each one of them. Some of those dates brought a positive reaction, okay, a positive memory. Some were not so good. Some were negative, you know, as we saw, like, the bombings and the attacks and all that. And we all have gone through different situations in our past. And the truth is that there is power in the past. There is power in the things that we have lived, that we have gone through. You know, if we looked into our own stories, again, there's been situations that we have lived that have probably marked us, that have impacted us, both in good ways and bad ways. They have shaped who we are now. And the Bible actually speaks about the power of the past. And so I just want to pray before we continue with our message. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would come and empower me, Lord. Let it be your words and not mine. And I pray that your Spirit would open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, Lord, to see you, to hear you, to feel you, and that Lord, that you would work in a powerful way this morning here in this place in each one of us. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So So the first thing that we want to do is we want to acknowledge that we want to acknowledge how the blessings, but also the sins of our family, going back to 3 and 4 generations, can impact who we are today. If we go back and read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "You shall not bow down to them." And in this moment, God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments. And so he's talking about not having idols. And God says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the 3rd and 4th generation." So clearly, God is saying that the children of these people were going to be impacted by the sin of their parents to the 3rd and 4th generation. We must be aware of that, church. We must be aware of that. Now, obviously, we didn't get to choose our family, right? Before we were born, we didn't say, "Oh, well, I want him to be my dad, and I want her to be my mom, and I only want one sister," etc. We didn't choose our family. God sent us to the family that he wanted us to have. And so we can't change any of what happened in the past. But we must acknowledge that we have to deal with the consequences of what happened in our generations that have passed. Now, this is a message or a time where we're going to start blaming our parents or our grandparents or great-grandparents for the things that they did. That's not the intent of this message. But it is to try to look and see what we can do. So the word punish there in that verse where it says punishing the children for the sin of the parents is some scholars looked at it and they said that it means tends to be repeated. So the sin of the parents or the grandparents tend to be repeated to the 3rd and 4th generation. So whether it might be addictions, abuse, unresolved conflicts, etc., 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 some of those sins tend to be repeated to the 3rd and 4th generation. Now, we can look at some families in the Bible and really see how that played out. For example, Abraham. Abraham was a man of God. There's no doubt about that. He was a man filled with faith. But we see how his sins and blessings are passed on from generation to generation. If you see, you know, there was a pattern of lying in Abraham. Abraham lied about his wife, okay? And then we see Isaac and Rebekah's marriage was characterized by lies. And Jacob, you know, Isaac's son, he lied to almost everyone, and that's why his name means deceiver. 10 of Jacob's children lied about Joseph's death. Remember, they said, "Oh yeah, you know, a wild animal killed your son Joseph." And they kept that secret for more than 10 years. We also see in Abraham that there was favoritism for one of the sons. Abraham favored Ishmael. Isaac favored Esau. Jacob favored Joseph and then later Benjamin. And so that got passed on and it repeated. In that same family, there was brothers that were cut off from one another. Obviously, you know, Abraham had Ishmael and then Isaac, and then they had to be separated from each other. Jacob fled from his brother Esau because there was tension, there was conflict between them. Joseph was obviously sold as a slave, and so he was separated from his brothers, from his family, for more than a decade. There was poor intimacy in their marriages. Abraham had a child out of wedlock, obviously, we know, with Hagar, and that's how Ishmael came to be about. Isaac had a terrible relationship with Rebekah. Jacob had two wives, two concubines, and there was sort of a mess there. And so we see that some of the things that Abraham did were passed on to his son, to his grandchildren. Another family from the Bible is David. Obviously, we know that David was a man of God. The Bible even says that he was a man after God's own heart. And he did pass on great blessings to his children, but also patterns of sin and brokenness. There was spiritual and moral compromise. You know, David covers up his adultery and then the murder of Uriah. Solomon gets involved with the worship of other gods that were not the God of Israel. And then his son, Rehoboam, rejects counsel from the wise and he follows the gods of other nations around him. Obviously, there was sexual sin that got passed on from David. You know, David had many wives. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. We know about Solomon. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And then Rehoboam takes 18 wives and 60 concubines. So that pattern repeats, you know, itself again. Unresolved conflicts in the family of David. David had tension with his 7 older brothers. Solomon's half-brother Absalom kills his brother and then tries to kill his own father, David. And Rehoboam splits with his brother and divides Israel into 2 nations. So you see, there are some patterns that repeated themselves of sin. And there's a book by Peter Scazzaro from where I'm basing the message. And he says in that book, unless we understand the power that the past exerts on who we are in the present, we will inevitably replicate those patterns in relationships within and beyond the church. Again, there is power in the past. I mean, I can share stories about my past, my family. You might see, you know, I'm blessed and privileged to have my wife and my girls minister and worship and serve together. But there was things that happened in my past. I can share about my dad. In my dad's family, there was a problem of alcohol, smoking, anger issues, verbal abuse. My grandfather didn't like my dad because he was a lighter skinned and all of his other sons and daughters were darker skinned. So my grandfather almost didn't even acknowledge that he was his son. In my mom's side of the family, there's also alcohol and addictions and infidelity and divorce and anger. And so that impacted me profoundly. And you know, as I grew up, I was a very shy, insecure kid. I was afraid of my dad. I got bullied. It was hard for me to make friends, hard to talk to people. And that impacted who I was. And even some years ago, it impacted my life and my family in a very profound way. And if we would have stopped history, you know, some years back, then you probably wouldn't have seen this family up here right now. But Jesus, because if my story would have ended there, if we would have just stopped it there, our family would have been ruined. But Jesus. And it's not because it's the Sunday school answer, right? Jesus is the answer for everything. But He is. Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus did His work in our lives. And so we have to recognize that because of Jesus, we have been birthed into a new family. The family of Jesus. Take a look around you. The people that are here, we're all family. Because we have been birthed into the family of Jesus. That's the great news of the gospel, that your family of origin does not determine your future. It's God, the one that does that. The Bible says in Romans 8:14 and 17, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. And now we call Him Abba, Father." So the women around you are your sisters. The men around you are brothers. Because we are birthed into the family of Christ. So it doesn't matter now what our earthly parents or grandparents or great-grandparents did. Because now we have a new Father, a new Heavenly Father. And so now I am not the son of Regino or Rebecca. That's my mom and dad. Now, I am a son of God. I am a child of God. And as children of God, it says in Luke 8:21, and Jesus, when you know Jesus was teaching, and someone said, "Hey, your mother and your brothers are here to see you." And He says in Luke 8:21, Jesus replied, "My mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it." Again, this is our spiritual family. You know, we're from Mexico. All our family is back home in Mexico. I think our nearest relative is, you know, driving probably like 32 hours away from where we live. We'd have to fly or, you know. And so the family in, you know, in Montlake and the church, that's our family. That's our family. That's who we have. Why? Because we have been birthed into a new family. Now, are we perfect? No. We all have flaws. We all have brokenness. But we are all family. So there's no more Renteria. There's no more Kangas. There's no more whatever your last name is. Now we are children of God because that's our new family. Now you might say, okay, so what's next? I mean, there is some past, right? There is some things that we have to deal with. Yes, we do. So now what we do is we put off the sinful patterns of our family of origin. Okay, we put those off and we learn a new life in Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 3:10, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. And Paul, in that same passage earlier, he says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Maybe some of those patterns, sinful patterns, although that generational sin was passed on, and maybe you are having some issues with that. But now, it's time to get rid of them, he says in verse 8. And so I want to encourage you to be intentional about taking those things off and getting rid of them. And you might say, well, didn't I become a new person when I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior? Yes, that's true. And your sins were forgiven. But there's a phrase that Peter Scazzaro says in his book, he says, Jesus may live in your heart, but Grandpa lives in your bones. And if you think about it, yeah, Jesus is within us, but there are still some things from our family that we need to deal with. It's like if you got the news that you were diagnosed with a terminal illness, you wouldn't take that news lightly, right? If the doctor says, you know what, I'm afraid to tell you that you have cancer, you don't say, oh, okay, well, I'll deal with it. No, it's something that impacts you. And so when we hear messages like this and how God wants to deal with that, I want to encourage you to not take it lightly. I don't know what issues there are in your families. I don't know what issues or what sin have been passed on from your parents or grandparents. But what I can tell you is that Jesus wants to break those off. We're not going to be able to do it in our willpower, in our strength. Jesus is the only one who can break those curses, that generational sin or those generational sins that are part of you, of your family. God wants to break those off, and He wants to set you free so that you can enjoy your new life in Jesus Christ. But we got to be intentional about it. We got to say, Lord, here I am. You know my past. You know my sin. You know the things that happened in my family, what my parents did, what my grandparents did. And again, this is not a place to blame our parents. This is a message where we can come to grips and say, Lord, I want you to clean my past, to break the generational sin and the curses that have been in my family. Is it going to be easy? It might not, because you might have to remember some things. Is it going to take time? Maybe. It's probably going to be a process. Will it hurt? It might hurt. Again, because you're going to have to maybe relive some of those things that happened. But in the end, it's going to be worth it for the freedom that God is going to have or bring to your life. And I know He can do it because I am living proof that no matter what happened in the past, God can make things new and God can bring freedom. And again, you see now our family, and we're blessed to be able to do this as a family. But it was because of what God did in our lives to break off the past that we can be able to do this. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect, by no means. Because there are some things that we still got to work on. And it doesn't mean that when this happens, when you do this with Jesus, that everything is going to be perfect. No. But you can experience freedom in Jesus' name. God's still working in me. God's still working in our family. And we pray that he continues to do that. But I pray that God will work in your life, in your family. And ask the Lord, you know, today, during this week, ask the Lord to work in that and maybe to reveal some things that you may not be aware of. Things that maybe happened in the past in your family that you might not think are important or that you don't know. Ask God to bring those to your mind so that you can ask him to break it off. In Jesus' name. I want to close our time with a song. And so if you guys can come up. Again, the only one who can do this work is Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite you, if you can close your eyes for a moment and just talk to Jesus. Think a little bit about your life, your family. What things need to be broken off? What patterns, sinful patterns, do you identify in your family? What things need to be broken off? What things do you need to be freed from? And ask Jesus to start working in you. Again, I can testify that God will do it. If you wouldn't have done it, we wouldn't be here this morning. And the greatest thing is that God wants to do it. God wants you to enjoy life and freedom on this earth. And so we want to sing this song. Continue to pray to Jesus, but we want to sing this song over you. Speak the name of Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, yeah, only in him. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Lord, we ask that you break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. You can sing along with us. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a
fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Declare this for your family.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.
Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here in this church. Even the ones that couldn't be here today, Lord. I speak the name of Jesus over them. I pray that You would bring freedom.
Yes.
That You would break every stronghold, every chain, every generational sin. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that You would break that off. Lord, I pray that today, this week, they would continue to think about this. And Lord, they would come to You asking that You would do a great work in their lives and in their family, Lord. I speak Jesus to them and to their families for Your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you.